No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Paul, this is more serious than selling ice cream. There's clowns going around killing people. We're all in danger.
Ah.
Welcome to Watch Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse.
And welcome back, everybody. We have a very fun episode planned for you guys today. Getting extraterrestrial. Because we are talking about Killer Clowns.
The Killer Clown.
From Outer Space.
From Outer Space. Boom. This is our second take. Our first take, we had a really funny bit about one take only.
Yep, and now it's and two takes.
Then Audacity said, the fuck you will. So.
Well, y'all didn't know that. You didn't have to know that, but we're sharing it.
I want everybody to know it.
We're transparent here. We yeah. want, you know, this is the second take. But the rest of this is one take.
Okay.
One take here from here on out.
One and a half take average.
That's right. So, yeah, today we're talking about Killer Clowns from Outer Space. This is my pick for Jessie because she has not seen or she had not seen this movie.
Incorrect.
Two.
Indeed.
Did you say incorrect?
I started to say indeed and then halfway through changed it to correct and it came out incorrect, which was the exact opposite of either of the words I was trying to say.
We're going to have to change to no first takes. This is like exclusively...
God damn it.
This is falling apart.
Okay, so announcements. We've been doing our October... What is it that we call?
Scream Screen.
Scream Screen, yeah. So we're going to do brief mini reviews of all of the movies we've chosen thus far.
Many reviews. All right. Well, I've got the list here.
Okay.
I've been keeping track of it this year. I got a little doodle of Michael and Ghostface up here to... Yeah, mark it. Okay, so day one, it was my pick. I chose Halloween 4 because that movie is a perfect mood setter for the month. I say that every year.
It's a classic, and I would say that I love it like a sister, like a real sister.
So. Yeah. Family is a touchy thing in that movie. But yeah, I love that movie. It's one of my favorites. I think it's the second best Halloween movie.
And yeah. If you follow us on Twitter, then you got to... enjoy some of my fun rants about Loomis.
You can still see them there. They're still there.
They're still there.
Go check them out. Day number two, Jesse's pick.
I went with Scream 4 because I just wasn't sure what I was in the mood for. And I'm always in the mood for a Scream movie. And then I decided on number 4 because Travis started off the month with a number 4. So keeping it consistent.
Plus, that's like one of your favorites.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
I'll die on the hill. So yeah. It's fine.
Day number three, that was a new pick for us, so something that we hadn't watched before, and I chose Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3.
I was surprised at how much I loved that.
I liked it a lot, too.
I thought it was such an interesting kind of take on it still very much felt like a Texas Chainsaw movie, but it was a different take on it. It was almost like Texas Chainsaw Massacre meets The Hitcher.
Dude, I was thinking the same thing when we were watching it. Yeah, it reminded me so much of The Hitcher. I liked it a lot. Like, a lot of people, I had heard a lot of negative things about it because people are like, it's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie where nothing happens.
That's a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie. I mean, it's like most other Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies, but there's more of like a road chase type deal going on with this one rather than being like stuck in a single location.
Yeah, mix it up every once in a while, folks.
Yeah, I liked it. My only complaint is I do think that it's one of the more lackluster Leatherfaces, but you know, it's okay. Everybody else is good. They had another A-list actor before he got big. Viggo Mortensen, I think is his name.
Viggo Mortensen!
Yeah, the dude from...
I can never say his name right.
Lord of the Rings is all I know
him
from. I know he's famous for other things, but whatever. And day number four, Jesse's new pick.
Because I'm a Kevin Williamson fangirl through and through, we watched Sick!
Yeah.
And so listen, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I will say within the first 10 minutes, Travis said, if this movie... is about a serial killer killing people because they're anti-vax, I'm going to be fucking furious. And I said the only way that I would accept it is if the killer is Anthony Fauci.
Now.
Which is not how it turns out.
Well, don't tell them that.
Well, I mean, you can cut this. You're editing.
I'm just saying, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. You'll have to watch it to go check it out.
It's definitely worth a watch. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's got the Kevin Williamson flair.
It does, yeah. It was a fun movie. I didn't know if I would like it or not because I kind of...
Because we all still have COVID fatigue.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like, it's just such low-hanging fruit. Like, oh, let's make it set in COVID times. That way it stands apart. It doesn't stand apart. Everybody fucking did shit.
I don't know if it was meant to like make it stand apart so much as like, hey, this is a thing that was universally dealt with.
People want it to be relatable. Like, hey, we all did this, so let's make a movie about it. And it's like, that's not like a relatable thing that we want to relate
God
to.
God forbid somebody make a movie that's relatable.
In that way, yeah.
We're like, about to talk about fucking alien clowns.
That's not relatable.
I know.
Exactly.
So God forbid someone want to make a relatable movie.
That one's just relatable in not the right way right now. Maybe 10 years from now, tell COVID stories. But like, hey, COVID's still happening. You guys remember?
Yeah, but
you guys remember when though?
Yeah, but then it's just gonna feel dated in 10 years. I like it.
It's a period piece then. Like it's like, hey, what happened back then. Like this is how shit was.
Anyway,
now we're like, yeah, we fucking knew.
Your next pick.
We didn't have one. It was
no, it was Dawn of the Dead.
Oh yeah, it was Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, we watched Dawn of the Dead 2004, the remake,
which is always fun.
Yeah, I love that movie. Just
it's
watching
such a good time.
I was in the mood that night. I said, I want a blockbuster horror movie with fun set pieces and fun action. And I saw that, and that's exactly what it is. It's so fun. I love that movie.
On the 6th, neither of us had a pick. That was The Shining. That was because it is the day before our friend's birthday. And she said, I just really want a movie night with snacks. And she wanted to watch The Shining.
Because she had read the book.
She had read the book. And I wondered that they weren't the same. It was okay. We all learned about horsepower. Not because of the movie, but just...
But not because of the movie.
like a mouth problem. We found ways to apply horsepower to the movie.
Yeah. I remember what caused it now, but no. It's because of the movie.
And then last night, obviously, we watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah.
We may have watched additional movies on a different weekend, but we were out doing family stuff, so...
Yeah.
Just had the one movie.
Yep.
So it'll be back to my pick with a familiar movie tonight.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll have the rest of those reviews on next week's episode.
Yeah, we'll just keep going through them. So, what have you guys been watching? Have you watched any of those movies? Are you going to check any of them out? Probably should.
Yeah.
Let us know. Let us know what you're into right now.
Okay, so poll results for last week's movie. We talked about The Lost Boys. And we wanted to know what the sexiest part about The Lost Boys is, since everybody's so fucking bent on it being a sexy movie. So the things that are sexy are either the saxing, the mullets, the leather jackets, or the taxidermy. And on Twitter, 36% think the saxing is the sexiest, 7% believe the mullets are, 36% believe the leather jackets, and 21% believe the taxidermy. So there's a tie between leather jackets and saxing there. Meanwhile, on Instagram, 56% say the saxing, 6% say the mullets, 28% the leather jackets, 11% the taxidermy. Whenever I saw this initially, it was going like completely different ways. People on Instagram were very big on the saxing, and people on Twitter were very big on the leather jackets and the taxidermy at that time.
Okay. That tracks. That tracks for both those platforms. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm going to have to go with the leather jackets.
Yeah.
As long as they're like a faux leather, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I think the mullets, honestly. I've been, you know, I'm a mullet supporter.
He is.
And
he's pro-mullet.
I liked seeing it. You know, those are some damn fine mullets back then. Not Kiefer Sutherland's. That's like the mullet that's dirty. Like, I like the mullet that Michael had.
We do also have some dispatches from the 1980s. So there was a big discussion about Santa Cruz versus Santa Carla versus Santa Clara. And finally figured out what happened.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. And my mom, who texted me and said, hey, Santa Clara is real. I was born there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had two people call us out on it. That's right.
And we realized what happened was I was saying Santa Carla as is correct, and then Travis was like, no, it's Santa Clara, because he was thinking about basketball, and I was like, well, actually, it's Santa Cruz. So that's what happened. Santa Carla's in the movie. Santa Clara and Santa Cruz are in the United States. My mom has been to Santa Cruz multiple times because she did some specialized education in Monterey, and it was about 45 minutes away, so she's actually been to that boardwalk, and she said it is absolutely as dope as it looks.
Santa Cruz, right?
Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
She also said that her and her cohorts all got real excited when the movie came out because they were like, ah, we've been there. She also said that Cry Little Sister was playing everywhere on the radio all the time. She doesn't really remember I Still Believe or the saxophone man Tim Capello himself. Yeah. So lots of interesting stuff. Oh, also one other thing that she says, she cannot remember the Peter Pan movie, but she does remember the book where Peter Pan actually kidnapped or whatever Wendy to be a mother to the Lost Boys. And so she figures that's probably where Max's reference to Lucy being a mother to his boys comes from. But, you know, we can all agree that that's still misogyny.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting, though. I didn't realize that there was that many parallels between Peter Pan and I just remember the cartoon growing up. I don't remember
the
very deep lore of it.
I never really watched. Peter Pan was not like my jam back in the day. Yeah. So it wasn't one that I was like a big fan of.
I got into like a different green tunicked man as I grew older as a child, and his name was Link.
I think you mean Zelda.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Excuse me, Zelda.
I keep telling Travis that one year I want us to go as Link and Zelda for Halloween, and then whenever people are like, nice costume, I'll be like, we're both Zelda, just to see how many people I piss off.
It'd be a lot. Plenty of people.
I just think it'd be real fun. It's like performance art.
Yeah. Okay, guys. All right. Enough silliness. Let's get into some silliness.
Enough silliness. That's not what people clicked on this episode for. All
right, guys. Let's talk about Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Okay. So Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Jesse, this is a very special movie for us. You know why?
Why?
It released May 27th, 1988.
Oh!
That's our anniversary
that
date
our
for those.
Anniversary, yeah.
Not in the year 1988, though.
Yeah, we were married 4 years before we were born. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a, you know, this could be a very special anniversary movie for us going forward.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
We watched it on our Blu-ray.
Yeah, with weird art.
Yeah, it's really terrible cover art. I forgot to check yesterday. I wanted like, I have my fingers crossed hoping that there's like a reversible cover art on there. I'm sure there's not because it was a very cheap Blu-ray. It doesn't even have a menu.
Yeah, like, it just goes straight into the movie.
You know what's funny? Like I let the credits roll and then it doesn't like have like a thing like, do you want to start again? It's like, and we're starting again. Like, okay, cool. I guess I'm watching Killer Clowns again.
Yeah.
And there are subtitles at least, but you have to do like the options within the movie. Like there's, I don't know. It's a very cheap disc. Thankfully, there is an Arrow release for you Blu-ray nerds like me out there. That's why we got this one, because our buddy Joe upgraded.
Freakatron.
Yeah, Freakatron, as is his full name. He got the Arrow version, and he gave this one away, and we claimed it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Joe. You helped us with this one.
Yeah.
But as of October 8th, 2023, if you do want to stream it and you don't own it on disc, you can watch it on AMC Plus, Tubi, Shudder, Pluto, and Freevee. So you got your paid options and your free options. Mm-hmm. No excuses not to watch this one. But if you do have to buy it for whatever reason, you can rent it on Vudu, Amazon, Apple, or Redbox for like $3.
Yeah. So,
you know, it's cheap either way. It's free or treat. Cheap. Treat cheap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who needs to do vocal warm-ups today?
This is me every day.
Not I.
No, this happens to me. Like, I feel like people like think I'm probably drunk half the time I'm talking, but it's
sometimes
just like,
sometimes you are.
I get ahead of myself. Sometimes I am. I have had a couple of, I'm working on a cider right
cider.
Now. With a little bit of rum in it, but you know, I ain't.
You hardly know her.
I ain't tipsy
yay!
Yet.
Yay! Haven't done one of those on air in a while.
I'm going to throw in applause audio there. Like, yeah. Written by Stephen Chiodo.
Okay.
Directed by Charles Chiodo, Stephen Chiodo, and Edward Chiodo in an uncredited role.
Okay. Quick question, because when it said a Chiodo Bros production that came up, I know we've seen that before elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What else have the Chiodo Bros done that we've watched?
They have, they did something for Suspiria.
Okay.
And they did Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Are you sure they haven't done like another movie we've watched?
They may have. They are most well known for their special effects. Are you looking this up now?
Oh, special effects might be why I know them then.
Yeah, they're special effects guys. And this is their movie that they wanted to make on their own.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Dracula.
Dracula. RoboCop, Gremlins, Critters, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Marcellus Shell with Shoes On, American Werewolf in London, Goosebumps. This is Chiodo Brother Productions. This is not necessarily listing what capacity they were working on them in.
Okay. But,
yeah. Okay. Well, so lots of things. Well-known names.
I watched RoboCop for the first time this year. It has amazing effects. Actually, Phil Tippett is also an effects artist in that too.
Talia really liked it, right?
RoboCop?
Yeah. Didn't you guys watch it together?
I think so.
Pretty sure that was the one you were like, Talia was really into it.
Oh, yeah. She watched it with me. I remember now. Yeah. Everybody loves RoboCop. Dude, RoboCop is almost a horror movie. It's horrifying, some of the shit that happens in that movie. Music by John Masurai with the theme song Killer Clowns done by the Dickies.
The Dickies. Dollar Scholars?
The Dicky Dollar Scholars. Maybe that's where they got that. Probably not. No. That's a stretch.
But absolutely not. Could be.
Special effects makeup by the Chiodo Brothers, but also by Fantasy 2 Film Effects.
Okay.
Chiodo Brothers didn't really do much of the effects on this movie. They focused more on the directing. They did the clowns. That's fair. And they did the Clownzilla at the end. But everything else was done by Fantasy 2 Films.
Okay.
All right. Cast. Grant Kramer plays Mike Tobacco. Whenever I saw the last name Tobacco in the credits last night, I chuckled because like, is that an actual last name? It was like they just like threw something out on there. Susan Snyder plays Debbie Stone. John Allen Nelson as Dave Hansen. John Vernon as Curtis Mooney. Michael S. Siegel as Rich Terenzi. And Peter Lucassi as Paul Terenzi.
Okay.
All right. Time for our favorite segment on the show.
Budget or Bughead.
What do you think?
Bughead.
Yeah. Yeah, this is pretty clearly a Bughead movie. This was a budget of $2 million.
Okay. Good for them, though.
Yeah. I don't have an opening for this, but I have a very questionable worldwide gross.
Okay.
So I saw it on Wikipedia. I looked elsewhere to see, because Wikipedia didn't have a source.
Okay.
So I went to find it myself, and others claim this to be the amount, but this is like after the fact. I think that this is overall since... Okay. You know, because it's played since then, but $43 million is what I have.
Okay.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
Way more than some of my fun facts indicates should have been. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't think, they definitely did not get that up front. It was not a success overnight. But the IMDb score is 6.2.
All right. All right.
Yeah, it's a pretty
good for them. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I've got three movies. And the theme I have for this is seasonally appropriate movies. So things that are good for October.
Okay.
Which most horror movies, but yeah, these right here are themed around the month mostly.
Okay, okay.
So the first movie is Night of the Demons.
Yeah!
Yeah. That released October 14th, 1988, with a $1.2 million budget, worldwide gross of $3 million, and an IMDb of 6.1.
Okay.
That's a staple here in this house now, after we finally covered it.
Absolutely. After we covered it, was it last year or the year before?
It was the first year of the podcast, so the year before.
It was one of our, neither of us had seen it.
Yeah, that was our new Halloween movie.
And honestly, we've watched it easily.
I'd say five times.
Yeah, I was going to say half a dozen times since then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a classic. We haven't seen the sequels yet, but I think I'm going to throw one of those on this year.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Next up, Pumpkinhead.
Yay!
That came out January 13th, 1988. Budget of $3.5 million, worldwide gross of $4.3 million, and an IMDb of 6.2.
Also big fans of Pumpkinhead in this house, and you can go check out our discussion on that with our buddies over at The Decision Reel. We covered it on their show a couple years ago.
A long time ago.
And that's why if you've ever listened to when Steve guests with us, we occasionally will call him Steve.
Steve.
It's because of that movie. So
Yeah, something about that was said like that. Like, he was like saying his name like that.
And it was like Steve. Agitating his dog.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, and we also are friends with Brian Bremer, who is
he's a one character. Of the little boys. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the boys in that movie. Okay, and the final movie, Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
No more. Release. March 30th,
1988. Beetlejuice.
God damn it. Not supposed to say budget of $15 million. Worldwide gross, $74 million. And an IMDb of 7.5. Yeah.
I mean, that one's a bit more blockbustery.
Yeah, that one I definitely plan on throwing on sometime this month for sure.
Yeah.
Haven't watched it this year.
When we, fun fact, when we put out all of our Halloween decorations, I added some Harry Belafonte to the mix because, I mean, how could you not?
Yeah, it's pretty much part of the season.
I got Talia dancing along with it too. So
yeah, she jams to it. Okay, I have some amazing taglines. Some of them are bad. Some of them are good.
I know the one on the poster.
I don't like the one on the
poster. I want you to say it like Dan does when he's talking about bread from Little Caesars.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's it. It's crazy. And the thing is, it doesn't even have a K. Like, make it with a K. That makes it crazy. With a C, it's just, that's crazy.
K-razzy.
K-razzy. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one. That one's just kind of, okay.
Yeah, it's...
Killer clones from outer space. It's crazy. Is it? Really? Yeah. Okay. I like this one. The greatest show on Earth, just not of Earth.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I think that's really great.
Mm-hmm. Third one. Step right up and see the greatest show in the galaxy. Admission is free. Will you survive?
Maybe.
It's okay. I feel like that one needs to be said to you, not you read it.
I feel like it needs, that one needs a little bit of work. It needs to be edited some. Just a little.
I like this one because it's just stupid. In space, no one can eat ice cream.
I like that.
It's really good.
That's like up there on the level of just when you thought it was safe to go back into the torture dungeon.
Yeah, it is. Alien bozos with an appetite for close encounters.
Wow. Okay, so we're just gonna throw all of the different taglines in there.
Hold on, I got this one.
Oh boy.
Horrific harlequins with an appetite for close encounters.
Okay.
Same thing, just like, yeah. Hey, let's like say something. Let's say it a different way.
Yeah, let's right click and pull up synonyms, you know?
And the final one, big top, big shoes, big teeth.
Accurate.
It's accurate, but I don't really think it's a good tagline. Nah, with this right here, the greatest show on Earth, just not of Earth, is my favorite. The ice cream one is...
I like that for the pure dumbness of it.
Yeah.
It's great. That's like a smart dumb.
Yeah, exactly. It is. Like, whenever I saw that, like, I chuckled to myself. I was like, you know what? That's actually good. Like, it's rare for a tagline to actually make me laugh. Okay. I've got our fun facts.
Okay.
Okay, so to start off, let's just talk about how it did, first off, which is not exactly fun, but it was a bomb originally.
Mm-hmm.
The studio did not have faith in it. They just tossed it out there in the middle of summer and figured, whatever. Chiodo brothers were kind of disappointed because they were really hoping for an October release.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
I imagine that's probably how most horror movie people, like people who are making a horror movie, are like, why are you not throwing my shit out in the right season?
I just want everybody to know, if you're making a horror movie and you get a January release, Jesse and Travis will go watch that because Jesse needs a horror movie on her birthday. So. Oh, yeah.
We do it all year round. It doesn't just have to be
we
October.
We do it all year round, but like it's a guaranteed movie theater experience if it's in January for us.
Yeah. Masari, the guy that did the music,
mm-hmm.
when he turned in his tapes for the soundtrack, the accountant and the people there, like, I guess, seeing the project, or like the studio people, told him at the time, like, yeah, this thing is not going to do well. Ooh. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And then he told them, you know what, man? You just don't get it. Somebody's going to appreciate this out there.
Yeah, well, that's just, like, your opinion, man.
Yeah. Well, he's right. I like the spirit. I think he liked it. He's like, you know what? This is a fun movie. I'm glad that he did the music for it.
Yeah.
It ended up finding its success by doing on or like late night screenings on cable and then movie rentals.
What? Yeah. This being a late night movie.
Tell as old as time here. It found its cult following.
Yeah. Never.
It was originally titled Killer Clowns, but they decided to add From Outer Space to prevent audiences from thinking it's a slasher.
Okay. Is there a reason for the K on clowns?
I don't really know, because it was also like a K in this instance too. I think that I guess they just wanted it to be unique. I don't know. Crazy.
Yeah, well, and I didn't know, because like halfway through the notes I was like writing it with a K, but the captions kept spelling it with a C. I didn't know if the K was significant, so I just switched to the C because I was like, well, I'm gonna write the
I went back and forth
them correctly.
I mean, with the people doing the subtitles here, I don't like it. They didn't even do a menu, you know, like clowns with a C, whatever.
Yeah,
who cares?
But this also, we're not talking Scream Factory here. If it was Scream Factory doing the captions, I think, yeah, it's entirely possible they fucked it up.
I think it's with a K. I think that they're clowns with a K
because they're aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it's like maybe like a Klingon thing?
Maybe. I don't really, I'm not a Star Trek
guy. I feel like
guy.
You have to be nerds to like make a movie about alien clowns.
I don't give a shit about Star Trek. And I'm not saying that to you. I'm just like saying like, I just like, I know people love that series, but like that is just a thing that I have never had any interest in.
One of those people is my mother.
I know she was.
So
she's also a Star Wars
person. I'm assuming you're going to get the angry text message this week.
I'm just saying, man, it's just like, it's never really got my interest. You know, I'm watching Killer Clown. That's what I'm doing. That's the shit I'm into. So funny enough, this was filmed in Watonsville and also the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk.
What?
Yeah. So back-to-back movies filmed there.
That's just, we're just living in Santa Cruz right now, y'all.
Yeah, it seems that way. The clowns were very cheap to produce, and they used very little of the $2 million budget. So as I said before, the Chiodo brothers made that while they left the rest up to Fantasy 2 film. The most expensive prop that had to be made was the popcorn gun. It included a compressor that launched the popcorn. This cost $7,000 to make, and it took 6 weeks to build.
How do you think the brothers feel now that you can just walk into a Spirit Halloween and buy a popcorn gun?
But does it launch popcorn?
I feel like it has to. You know what? We're going to have to do a field trip to Spirit Halloween and find out.
Maybe people, like, they probably have somebody, like, stationed there to, like, be like, all right, don't shoot it. Don't shoot popcorn in here, please. Like every, like, it's like the peanuts in like a steakhouse.
Or there's always somebody dressed up as one of the killer clowns at Scarefest. We'll just see if they've got a popcorn gun. And I'll ask if it really shoots. Yeah.
Yeah, there
that's
is.
What we'll do.
You know what?
We'll do.
That's right. In 2 weeks, we'll be like, hey, man, that thing actually shoot. Do you actually make cotton candy with that gun?
Will you kill me by cotton candy? That's the way I want to die, man.
Yeah, honestly.
Like, I want to die in a cotton candy cocoon.
But does it
that's
taste?
That's all I've ever wanted.
Does it taste like cotton candy? I would be really, like, if it tastes like cotton candy, sure. I'm okay with it.
Oh my God. Not. What if you die in a cotton candy cocoon, but it's licorice flavored?
I like licorice.
Black licorice?
I can eat it. You know the black jelly beans that everybody hates? Nah, I dig them. I can eat them. I can handle it. Yeah, I'll be all right. But the cotton candy does look delicious in this movie.
Looking up divorce lawyers.
No. most vehicles used were rented, which meant that none of them could be damaged. However,
oh God,
two of them were damaged. And here's how.
Was it from cotton candy in the upholstery?
Hold on. So the first one was driven off of a bridge. The intended roll that was supposed to happen for was it was just supposed to roll a short distance. However, it went full blown off the bridge.
This is like the Jackass, like the first Jackass movie where Knoxville goes and rents a car and fucks it up.
Yeah, I love that. Second was the Jeep that got cotton candied.
Yay!
So the Jeep needed $3,000 in repairs after solvent in the webbing damaged the interior.
No, seriously, I've already been thinking of ways that we could stage like a killer clown setup next year. Because I feel like we could probably get like pink spray paint and get one of those fake like cobwebs.
Here in the house?
Probably not inside, but like outside.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Dude, we could turn the mummy into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd be all for that. And the original ending of the movie was going to have the Terenzi brothers surviving while David would die in the ship explosion. but test audiences did not like that. They wanted a more upbringing ending, so they just went in and refilmed it.
Yeah, I like Dave surviving. I think it's more plausible Dave surviving than the Terenzis.
Yeah, their whole thing is like they keep surviving even though they shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And that's it. That is my fun facts for this.
Okay.
All right. So before we get into our good, bad, and ugly, let me explain why I chose this movie.
Okay.
So I chose this one because it is a very fun movie. It is a very cheesy 80s movie. Does not take itself seriously.
Mm-mm.
It's just fun. And I know that that is the type of shit that you're into, especially from this decade.
Absolutely.
So I figured, and also it's a cult classic. That's everybody talks about it.
Why I will die on the hill that Halloween 5 is a camp masterpiece.
Exactly. And I think that actually came out the same year as this. So it's in good company right here. But
future double feature.
Oh, hell yeah. I am absolutely on board for that. But yeah, I don't know. It's a classic. Everybody talks about it. We've had friends recently watching it for the first time too. And I just thought that it was finally time. Okay. And this is one that, like, I had only seen one time before. And my experience was that was in college, freshman year. I had some friends over. And we had smoked a little bit of marijuana. And I got a little bit too high. And I ordered two Domino's pizzas. Got the same delivery
not
guy.
Not at the same time, to clarify. No. I wasn't there. I don't smoke the devil's lettuce, but...
this is in the past. We can talk about things in the past. And also, who gives a shit if people smoke weed? It's fucking, it's fine. Everybody does it anyways. Nobody gives a shit. But we didn't.
I just said I don't.
I know you don't. I'm just saying, I'm talking to people who are like thinking, oh, are they really? Did they? Yeah. Back in college, for sure. But, yeah, went in, hit play on Killer Clowns, ordered a Domino's pizza. We destroyed it. Immediately ordered another Domino's pizza. Had the same delivery driver. That was very awkward.
If you are the delivery driver and somehow are listening to this, please let me... Because Travis told me this story and I was like, you are that delivery driver's weird story that they tell sometimes when everybody's talking about like... weird workplace stories. Like, he's like, I had this dude that was super fucking high and ordered two pizzas back to back.
It doesn't help also that my freshman year of college, I was still looked like a child. I was very chubby and I had very red eyes. Like, it was
So if you're the delivery driver, please let me know if you do often tell this story or just think about it.
Yeah, so I remembered very little about this, so a lot of this was like watching it again for the first time. So, yeah. All right. Now, let's talk about it. So, what is the good, bad, ugly, and absurd? Start with the good.
Okay. Well, first of all, overall, I need to get these thoughts out. Because I didn't know what I was expecting from this movie. I recognize that it's called Killer Clowns from Outer Space and not Killer Clowns in Outer Space. But for some reason, I was anticipating a lot more space.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting them to have the same voice as when I used the voice modulation switch on my Mr. Microphone that I had when I was a child.
$2 million budget. The most expensive thing was a $7,000 gun. Yeah, they probably used that same toy.
They probably did use the Mr. Microphone. Yeah. I only knew about, obviously, like, I've seen the Killer Clowns before because I've seen the costumes and all of the stuff at Spirit Halloween. And so I'm familiar with some of the props and stuff. And I love the song. The song's a fucking banger.
I know it is.
Hard to it. And I'm glad I finally seen the movie with it. So all in all, I'm really glad that I had the opportunity to watch this. So let me go into the good, bad, ugly, and absurd.
Okay.
So the good for me, I love that we just got all kinds of different clowns. For some reason, I thought it was just going to be like basically the same three clowns. And I like how we just kept getting different clowns. That's amazing.
Yeah. Different sizes, different features. They were very unique.
And I like that everybody had different reactions to seeing the clowns, which felt very... real in a way that I wasn't expecting this movie to be.
Yeah.
I like all of the different kills, how they're all like range and levels of silliness. My favorite probably being the shadow puppet kill, because that's
so unique.
That won me over.
That one
in my heart and soul.
I admire because like it's like it requires animation too, and like it for something like cheap and like from that time, it takes effort to make something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, there's a lot of creativity and fun and heart in this movie. And it's one of those that there's not a lot of plot to get in the way of the story or story to get in the way of the plot, whichever way that saying goes. It's pretty bare bones, but it doesn't need to be anything more. We got so much happening already with what it is. So,
yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, just a lot of good.
Okay, is that all for your good?
Yeah.
Okay, for me, I love how it gets started immediately. Like, we start off with it, we get some people making out, and suddenly there is a circus falling from the sky, and boom, people are getting killed, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I love the premise of it. I think it's amazing to have clowns from outer space. Like, mm-hmm. it's just so ridiculous that it is so upfront about how it wants to be taken. Like, it tells you, don't take me seriously. Just have fun and enjoy this shitty, like, it's like stupid shit that's happening.
Yeah. And I love the discussion of like, but why clowns, when people threw out all of the fan theories that, you know, fans are probably throwing out, like, oh, this is just a disguise they have, or mm-hmm. oh, what if they came back on Earth thousands of years ago and put the idea of clowns into our head? Like, I love that. Yeah.
I love the cheesy lines that are in this movie, like the cheesy dialogue, like, this is no fun house, or that's no shooting star, that's a circus.
Or, this place looks like it was decorated by Clowns R Us.
Yeah. Or, popcorn, why? Because they're clowns.
I've never once associated popcorn with clowns.
I know. It's so funny. I just love it. I don't know. It's just so silly.
Yeah.
The movie has fun. The characters are fun. It's short too. It doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
It's just a good movie, man. It's just a lot of fun.
Okay.
All right, bad.
Bad. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit about the movie starting off.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, I guess technically we get establishing shots of around town that'll happen later, but I didn't really need those. You know what I mean? It's ultimately not important where the clowns are wandering around to.
Yeah, okay.
I just...
That's fair.
So
I just, you know, like, we didn't have to like have this whole like explanation of like, oh, okay, we see the clowns from outer space and everybody's having a normal life, and then suddenly like halfway through the movie they finally land, and then maybe like somebody discovers a clown, but like, no, like within 5 minutes like the farmer finds the
saying, just start straight off with the teenagers at makeout point. You know what I mean? Like, we get it. Small town America, makeout point. Got it. You've already set the scene for me.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. My bad, man. I can't really think of... I honestly tried to think of something that I didn't like about this movie, and I honestly can't really think of anything. I'd be lying if I said I did. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't have anything bad to say about this movie right now.
Okay.
I wish maybe some of the clowns had, like... I guess some of them have, like, different personalities, but, like, they don't really, like, behave, like, super differently. Like, they all, each one of them would be doing the same thing. You wouldn't, like, say, wait, that clown wouldn't do that. Like, all of them would react the same way or do the same way. Except for the tiny one.
Yeah, I was going to say the tiny one, because the tiny one's the one that does the whole bike thing and acts all, like, sheepish and then, like...
I fucking love his intro when he's riding his little, like, he's like pedaling his bike in, but it's like the sound of a motorcycle motor as he's rolling in. It's so awesome. I wanted the rest of them to have that personality too. Like, the rest of them all, like, also, we don't have names for them.
Yeah.
Like, I want something identifying about them other than, like, what they look like.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Ugly.
Mooney.
Mooney's pretty ugly. Yeah, he's a pretty shitty dude.
Yeah, he's the personification of the types of cops that abuse their power, pretty mm-hmm. much. Like, he even said, I'm supposed to read you your rights, but guess what? You're in Mooney's jail. You ain't got rights.
That's right.
Fuck, man? No wonder Dave hates you.
Anytime I see Dave, like, I'm just like, shut up, Dave.
Yeah, that's what I think of the little kid in Halloween 2018. You're dead, Dave.
Yeah, send Dave up there, please. I mean, that's kind of what happens in this, too. But yeah, I mean, even that scene where he's like letting the phone ring, like he's just ignoring the calls of the town.
Yeah.
Like, the whole town is being massacred by, you know, killer clowns, and he doesn't give a shit, or he's not believing it.
Well, like, at one point he hits the fucking clown with a mag light. That could cause like brain damage in a human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fucked up. Mine are dog death.
Yeah.
Which is at the very beginning. I hated that. Also, balloon dog death, which I'm going to make that equivalent. And also the chief talk from...
oh my God, I blocked that out. The really choice
from Mike
racial jokes that Mike makes.
Yeah, I was a little dated at that time, but you know.
What was his fucking name in the first Friday the 13th? Ned? Ted? Something like that?
Yeah.
Pretty much along those kinds of lines.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about. It's a guy that's
it's
like
either off. Ed or Ned or Ted. It's 100% one of those.
The Ted. okay, absurd.
All of it?
All of it, sure.
Do I pick, do you want me to pick one? My favorite absurd?
Sure, I mean, I got a couple that I wrote down.
Okay.
This movie is absurd from, start to end. But, you know, what is a absurd thing that is more absurd than you anticipated?
I'm going to say the popcorn that turns into the clowns on spinal cords.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, in a good way.
I know. I didn't know what to expect from it. I was like, what's this popcorn doing?
And for a minute, I was a little bit upset when it shows her getting in the shower. And I'm like, there's no way that much popcorn would still be in her. And then I think about going to the movies with you.
Yeah.
And how I found multiple pieces of popcorn in my sweater pockets. So.
And you said Killer Clowns wasn't relatable. It found a way, damn it.
Yeah, that and the shadow puppet. The shadow puppet show. I love that scene. That's amazing.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
Mine is the fact that they made a dog out of a balloon. Like the balloon animal dog. Yes! And they just set it down and it chases after them. I love that. Oh, I was reading. They made that with latex or something. That way it wouldn't pop on pine needles and stuff.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love that. And also getting pied to death.
Yeah.
I was reading, they had a guy that they wanted, it's a comedian that had a thing of getting pied that they wanted to bring in, but the studio was too cheap to pay for his plane ticket, so they just got a random dude to get pied to death.
It strikes me as something the Joker would do. Pie somebody, but it have acid in it.
I know, yeah. It's a twisted little spin on it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. All right, well, what do you rate this out of 10 then?
I'm going to give this an 8.
Okay.
It was my first time watching it, so I'm still sitting on it, but I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm hoping I'm going to feel good after we talk about it, and I know that we'll be watching this again in the future, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 9. I fucking love this movie. I love clowns, and initially pulling this up, I was afraid that it would be more alien than clown, but really they are clowns. They just are aliens in parentheses, technically they're aliens, but
from outer space.
Yeah, they have advanced technology, but it's all clown stuff.
Yeah,
it's good. It's a lot of fun. Honestly, this movie is just it's just fun from start to end. I didn't get bored the entire time. I just had a good time watching it.
Yeah. And
that's what this movie, this type of movie should be doing.
Absolutely.
And it succeeded. That's all. It's not trying to be any cinematic masterpiece. It's just trying to be a fun movie, and it excelled at what it was trying.
Pardon the pun, but this is a very solid example of a popcorn flick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so our average, 8.5.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you doing, math?
Mathed, all right.
We mathed!
Okay, so...
So we start off with some shots of just the town. Generally, Big Top Burger. Young adult, played by older young adults.
Yeah, you know, just... 30-year-olds.
The grumpiest cop in the world, which is saying something, who sees this kid walk in the street and just... What does he call him? A little bastard or a little asshole or something?
Something along the lines. I think it's bastard, yeah.
Yeah, he's just walking across the street, man. He's in the crosswalk even.
No, but I love this because he's at the stoplight and a pedestrian's walking across. And he's fucking bastard.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. And then the guy's fucking cop. Like, it's just like, it's just a nice dynamic. Like, you know, people hate cops, cops hate people. We, you know, it's, tell us what's time.
So we're at Makeout Point, which is top of the world for this town. For what is it, Cape Cove?
Yeah, I think
Crescent Cove.
Crescent Cove. Crescent Cove. Yeah.
This ice cream truck pulls up, and they make a lot of sexual innuendos, thinking that they're, it's going to be a hit, but really all they're doing is cock blocking. So they get trash thrown at them.
It's their own little thing, though.
Yeah.
So it's JoJo the Ice Cream Clown is their truck company, I guess, or their name. I don't know. But they've brought two women with them who mm-hmm. they're like, hey, they've lured in with ice cream. And they're like, hey, well, we happen to be at the makeout place, so maybe let's make out.
They're like, nah, drive us home.
And then everybody sees a comet flying over.
Yeah.
Including Farmer and his dog, Pooh.
Pooh. I think his name is Farmer Gene Green.
Gene Green?
Yeah, when I was looking up quotes to try and find a good one for the opening. Is it Farmer Gene Green?
They could have made him big and called him the Gene Green Giant.
Where he's like, it's Alice Comet! We're gonna be rich!
I love that. And then, like, they all are magically able to find exactly where the comet landed.
Which, like, okay, I'm gonna say this. So my hometown was one of the places best suited for viewing the eclipse.
Oh, boy.
And they set up big time, expecting a ton of, like, people to come be there that weekend, check it out, and people drove up the day of and left the same day. And that was a nightmare. And also, I'm sure economically for the town, it was not great because they had like, they had a convention and everything going.
It was great, but also terrible at the same time for the town and us, because it was cool to see that, but it was also a 10-hour drive home that should That's take normally 3 hours.
Three and a half, four.
Yeah. Yeah. But, oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. So,
I mean, it is here and there, because I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't think even if it was Halley's Comet, if he would get the money he thinks.
Oh, yeah. Well, if he found the comet and he turns it in for a, like, a large sum of cash, that's exactly what him and Pooh are going to do. But what they find is a giant circus tent that is pitched in the middle of the woods.
And this man, he is just, he's happy to be happy. Because, like, he's not even mad that there's no comet. He's just like, cool, didn't realize the circus was in town. Where's the ticket booth? And he's looking around for it.
Also, where is the town?
Yeah.
It's in the middle of a forest. But
then Sweet Pooh gets dog napped.
I love this here, though. He's walking across this, like, right by it, him and Pooh are, and what would be a silhouette of him is like a giant silhouette of a giant clown just creeping along. It's so good.
It's very like Scooby-Doo-esque almost.
It is, yeah, it is. It's very cartoonish. But Pooh senses something, and Pooh got, and so did the farmer.
Yeah, the farmer is like, I'll get you, I want my dog back! And then he gets zapped by one of the wires attached to the tent, and then a clown comes out and
that's the sound that would be turned into cotton candy.
Yep, pretty much. So one of the couples that's up at the top of the world, Makeout Point, okay, it's Mike and Debbie. Mm-hmm. And Debbie is curious. She wants to go check it out. And Mike is like, well, I'm a weird guy. I've got a full-size inner tube in my trunk. So, you know what? I'm down for things to get weird anyway.
Yeah.
So they drive to the forest until they get to a point where the car can't drive anymore. So they get out and they walk. And Debbie is rightfully like, hey, I don't know that I want to go into this tent because this seems like a bad location for a circus. So
the dude says pretty lousy location for a show. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? If the circus was like right here in the woods, like surrounded by all these trees, I think that would be awesome.
I love that, though, when they get in there, they get into, like, that first hall, and he thinks it's Cirque du Soleil.
Is that what he said?
He doesn't call it, he doesn't outright call it Cirque du Soleil, like, but European that's what circus. He's, yeah, that's yeah. what he's hinting at.
That's funny. I guess he couldn't legally call it that or something. Yeah, they eventually make it through a door,
mm-hmm.
and then when they get in there, they find...
Well, the door forces them through, basically, because it sucks them in.
Does it? Yeah. He also pushes a button.
He pushes a button and then they go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Crazy. They find themselves in a room with a lot of hanging cotton candy. mm-hmm. which normally, fuck yeah, you'd be on board with it. But they...
Do you want to hear something really dumb?
Sure.
So I'd seen these cotton candy cocoons before seeing the movie. I always thought that these were meant to be like punching bags and that the clowns trained with them. Because I'd seen the clown with the boxing gloves and I'd seen the pink cocoons and I was like, oh, they train on cotton candy bags.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a different movie. You know, like a Rocky version of Killer Clowns.
Mm. So, I could see them playing that theme on like kazoos or something.
Oh, dude, that would be so good. That was one of my favorite things.
Let's keep these ideas in mind for our dream sequel.
I used to do that in my media class. I got GarageBand open, and I learned how to play the Rocky theme, and I got my teacher really mad because I just kept going, like, Travis! Okay, so, they find the cotton candy, and they, like, tear into it because, fuck yeah, it's cotton candy, let's eat that shit. But, tearing into it kind of tears somebody's face off because there's a person in there.
Yeah, and Debbie's like, oh my god, this was the shooting star. We're in a spaceship. And Micah's like, what a wild leap of logic. And she's like, we gotta go. So they go, and they're leaving just in time because a clown pops out.
Oh yeah, they get chased out by a clown. Yeah.
Yeah. They manage to get out.
The clown shoots the popcorn at them, and the popcorn tracks them.
Yeah.
So for those of you who have seen Phantasm, which Jesse is not one of them, it's a lot like the flying orbs that chases them around, which it's like a really cool thing. Like inside there is like a little, I'm sure you've seen the orbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot like that.
But yeah, so the clowns, a few of them decide to gather, and they're gonna follow these kids, and what better way to track some people than with a hound dog?
Yeah, so they just blow up a fucking dog.
I love it.
With a balloon. Yeah, and then they just set it down, and it barks, too.
And, like, this is making use of, like, your shtick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're gonna have killer clowns, do stuff like this. You know what I mean?
Like, have fun with the concept. Yeah. And that's exactly what this is. I just wish that the dog stuck around for a lot longer, because, like, I think they run over it and it pops.
Yeah. Mike kind of loses points with me with that.
Yeah, man. Like, it might be a balloon dog, but it's still a dog. So now we're already at two dog deaths in this movie.
Yeah. And now it's like the clowns, like, well, okay, well, they've got to get revenge on the town.
They're like, hey, we just wanted to like share shit with you, but now you killed our dog. So now we're going to kill everybody here.
So they are driving to Mike and Deb are driving to the police station, and they do a really bad job of explaining what happened to Dave, which Debbie knows Dave because they used to date.
Yeah.
And he, like, this is one of the things I don't like about this movie, is this weird pissing contest over Debbie between Mike and Dave. Like,
I think it's kind of played comedically because, like, it's clearly only Dave that gives a shit about it. Like, yeah. He keeps bringing it up. Like, meanwhile, Mike is like, who gives a shit, dude? Like, there are clowns here that are trying to kill us. Like, we can deal with this another time.
Yeah.
And he's like so hung up on Debbie.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Officer Mooney is over listening. He goes, hey, I know who you are. You're friends with those numbskulls, the Terenzi brothers.
But we get a name drop of killer clowns from outer space.
Yeah.
It just says the title. Yeah. But yeah, the Terenzi brothers, the guys that have the JoJo ice cream truck.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I bet this is just a promotion for their ice cream truck.
Yeah. And also, just a prank, because he's like, yeah, those guys are always into trouble, and he's already arrested two hooligans, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, has that happened yet?
Oh yeah, he arrested two hooligans earlier,
which they're not really hooligans, they're just like two
college kids that were drinking like two college goths that were having a date or a friend date. I don't know.
They're just enjoying the time together.
They're just drinking a bottle of wine in the park. They're not being disruptive, but he arrests them. He's like, public intoxication, open container, and now you're resisting arrest. And like whatever. Yeah, technically they did do all of those things. Does it warrant putting them in the cell? Probably not.
No.
I feel bad for the little goth boys.
I do too. Yeah,
they just wanted to drink some wine and listen to some Morrissey in the park after dark. That's all any goth ever wants.
We don't ever actually get their fate, do we?
They get cotton candied.
Do they actually? Yeah. I don't remember seeing. Okay.
Yeah, we see it in the cell later.
Okay, I just remember, aren't they like, what were you in for? Okay. Now we see a guy that was from the makeout point. He witnesses a surprise clown puppet show.
Yeah, the puppet show. He's got like the little hand puppets.
Yeah, one of them has like a little like ray gun.
Yeah.
It's like a cotton candy gun. And like the other one, I don't know what story is being told here. It's not a good story because the other guy gets shot with cotton candy.
Yeah, she hit him with her 10-cent pistol. That's the story that's being told. And then like the little puppet turns around and points the gun at the guy. He's in gazebo, by the way. I feel like we need to use the word gazebo whenever we can.
Yeah, that's fair. And also, this guy goes through the whole range of emotions while watching this puppet show because
I relate. Like,
he's like walking around, he sees the thing, he's intrigued. Yeah. He goes over, he sees it, he sees the clowns interacting. He this heart right there, he's pulled in, it's tugging at the heartstrings. He sees the turn, the twist of the clown sticking him up on the other one. That's the shock and horror. And then he's also terrified when the clown gun turns towards him.
Yeah.
And a giant clown just slowly rises up from behind the booth. And he gets cotton candy.
Yep.
I love that scene. Like that shot of him just slowly towering above everything.
Meanwhile, really cool. Over at the pharmacy, there's like a little display monster outside. And one of the clowns like pretends that they're a little display monster.
Trying to blend in.
It's pretty smart. And these two women go in. She really needs some mascara real quick.
Is that what she says?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they go in and then he follows them in and we don't see everything that happens. We just see the pharmacist is very helpless and going, and he's like trying to call the police station. And meanwhile, the two women are covered in cotton candy.
I love how long this clown shops at the store.
Yeah, one of his clown buddies will come and join him, and they will just have all of the snacks piled up on the counter. Yeah. Like they are Travis watching this movie.
They think it's like a gun store, probably. Like, ooh, okay, what kind of weapon is this? A chocolate bar? And it's just chocolate.
So Dave is willing to go check out this supposed big top spaceship, but he wants to drive Debbie home first. And Mike walks Debbie up to the door and she's like, don't worry, I'm going to follow you guys. And he's like, no, don't. She's like, okay, well, I'll just hurry back here then. Dave and Mike get to where the spaceship was, except it's just a giant hole in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dave arrests Mike for telling porcupines. He's like, we're not doing that today. That's not what we're...
You take my girlfriend and now you lead me up here to see a circus show that's not actually a circus show?
Yeah, like he's mad.
Yeah, he should be.
He's furious. Yeah. So...
He handcuffs him and puts him in the cop car.
Meanwhile, across town, we have the scene that I wrote as clown versus bikers in my notes.
Yeah.
It's a big group of bikers hanging out in a back alley, as bikers do.
It's like outside a bar, I think. Yeah.
It's like the back alley behind a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, like you said in the beginning, you hear like the motorcycle revving, but then it's just like the tiniest clown there is comes up on his little tricycle.
He's so adorable.
He's so cute.
And yeah, he's just like pedaling his little bike. He's going so slow, but it's like a loud motorcycle just rolling up.
And so one of the bikers comes over, he's like, oh, can I ride your bike? And the clown shakes his head no. And he goes, well, can I honk the horn? And the clown nods his head yes. And the biker smashes his tricycle.
Yeah, right in front of it. But in doing so,
rude.
He does honk the horn when he stomps on it.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, I kind of agree with the clown in this moment who puts on the boxing gloves and says, put up your dukes, put up your dukes.
I fucking love that. He like jumps up into the sky. Where does he go? Spaceship? Grabs like his boxing gloves, lands back down. And yeah, he's like got his like hands up. He's like in boxing stance and he's like, put your dukes up. And the guy's like, what are you going to do? Punch my block off? Which, never say that if you're in any situation like that. Like, what are you going to do? Stab me?
Stab.
Stab victim. Yeah. Which it's exactly what happens. He gets his block punched off.
I like to imagine that this scene inspired the I Think You Should Leave skit where he's like, oh yeah, take a motorcycle.
Yeah. I get the impression that this is a younger clown, like a baby.
Yeah, because baby.
I think that he was actually like having fun at first. He's like, hey, here's my bike, guys. And he's like, hey, yeah. Like, can I ride it? No, that's don't do that.
These bikers are just being jerks.
Yeah, can I honk the horn? Okay, sure. Yeah, that's fine. And then he smashes it. He's like, okay, I'm going to fuck you up because I am a child and violence is the answer to everything.
Over at the Big Top Burger, there's one clan outside who's playing peekaboo with a little girl inside.
That's and creepy.
This moment also, I love the way they did the sound editing for this because it, you know, you've got the typical restaurant chatter and it all just fades away in the background as this little girl's getting mesmerized playing peekaboo with this clown. And the clown starts beckoning her over and she gets up and starts walking over. And then her mom's like, where are you going?
This right here, like, honestly, this is a moment where, like, the movie can get creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I guess, that was another good thing that I forgot to mention. But, yeah, like, the clowns are creepy here. Like, especially the laughs.
Yeah.
I feel like they nailed the clown laughs in this. Like, it's really scary.
Dave stops by the top of the world and finds a little bit of disarray.
Ooh.
Going on. Because some of the cars are just destroyed, covered in pink cotton candy.
Yep. Which, yeah, now he's starting to believe that they weren't really making shit up.
Yeah. Let's see. So he uncuffs Mike. He's like, I'm sorry, I let my anger get the best of me. Looks that perhaps you were correct.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the station, Mooney is learning none of these lessons. He's getting calls and is just being an asshole to every single person that calls, except for the pharmacist, who he may actually be friends with.
He thinks that it's a very elaborate prank that the Terenzi brothers have played on him. He thinks that it's like, could they have convinced the entire town to do this? So he's just telling them, all right, whoa, a clown's over there and he's attacking your whole family. Well, good luck with it. And then he just hangs up the phone. Meanwhile, we have Deb. Oh, wait, no. We have another clown. A clown's driving.
Yeah, a man is driving and he also hears a bicycle.
Yeah.
And I love this because the clown comes up beside him, is not on anything. He looks like Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. And
but he has headlights still.
On his shoes. Yeah. They're on the bottom of his shoes. Yeah. I love that detail. It's
really
so
funny.
Stupid. This is the kind of like fun you have to have with stuff like this. Yeah. It's like at the horror drag show last year at Scarefest, somebody did an outfit for Christine and they put headlights over breastplate. And I was like, that's hilarious. And I saw her at the bar and I was like, I loved your Christine. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was good. So he gets into like a little race and then he just rams him off the road.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy's dead.
Is that the car that they accidentally pushed off the bridge?
There was a car that they wanted to have a wreck that they kind of wrecked unspectacularly. Like, because they forgot to like unlatch something in like the sling, so like a car was supposed to be launched over the side and like explode, but what really happened is it just kind of like tumbles over the side of the road and gets caught by a tree.
Okay.
I think that's what this car is right here.
So yeah, Debbie's at her apartment, she's showering, and we see the popcorn that came out of her sweater is like moving along the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, we see one of the clowns, speaking of the popcorn, he just he takes a few handfuls of popcorn and puts them in the Big Top Burger dumpster, and you're like, interesting. He's throwing away his own stuff, but it seems like he's not actually throwing away trash. He's just throwing away a snack for later.
Yeah, he's just like, he's planning stuff, and you're like, what the fuck is happening here? I like how they're like laying this down.
Yeah.
And they like let it build and like reveal it later.
Yeah, because we see an employee come out to put bags in the dumpster, and this is one of those funny moments, like how you can tell in shows when they don't actually have coffee in their coffee cups.
Yeah,
that you could tell there's not actual trash in these trash bags. The way yeah. he just like bleep bleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, he gets pulled into the dumpster and attacked. Ugh. So this is where we get the shadow puppet scene.
Yeah, the shadow puppets.
I love it. It's so cute watching everybody get really into the shadow puppet, and Mike and Dave pull up just in time to watch one of the shadow puppet monsters eat the crowd.
He honestly puts on a show longer than I'd expect. Like I think he does it long enough to gain a crowd, and then once he gets a large enough amount of people, he turns it into like a monster so it can eat them. And yeah, Dave and Mike witness that, and that's when Dave is now 100% convinced because mm-hmm. he's seen the clown
seeing
kill somebody.
Is believing, yeah.
Yeah.
So he calls the station, telling Mooney that he needs to call the state and get them in, and Mooney doesn't believe him, and he believes that this is a mass prank to try and drive him off the force. So he knows everybody hates him. At least there's that level of self-awareness in this man. So Dave is going to drive to the station. Mike is going to go warn the Ice Cream Brothers, and then they're going to go get Debbie. So back at the station, speaking of, before Dave gets there, a clown wanders in, and Mooney sees him. And it's just kind of like watching him. Then he comes up with flowers, does the old clown thing, squirts him in the face with some water. And that's enough for Mooney. He's going to arrest this man.
I thought that the water was going to melt his face.
I know. I thought it was going to be like acid.
This clown is like surprisingly compliant with him, well, honestly.
Well, kind of in a clown sense. Because Mooney puts the gloves on him, or puts the cuffs on him. And then the clown basically degloves himself.
No, dude, I love this so much because he like saunters through the door, and then he like a second later he just like pops back in, like, go. He just like pops back out, like, are you coming?
Yeah, he's like, we're going to the cell, right?
Yeah.
So Mooney hits him with his fucking mag light, and this is one of those like 2-foot mag lights. It's those are hefty materials.
Yeah, for sure. That doesn't faze him.
Yeah, in fact, the clown pulls an owl maneuver and flips his head 180 and then hits Mooney back.
Yeah, he like he gets locked in there, and then he takes like one of the little blow things, yeah, like the little fire party,
yeah,
and then like grabs him by the neck and pulls him in and knocks him out, and then he's in the cell with the two hooligans that were just drinking wine.
So what are you in for?
Yeah, and they get turned into cotton candy.
So Dave returns and he sees large, brightly colored footprints all throughout.
I love that.
Yes, that would be so, like, especially, it would be ominous if you didn't know what was going on, but even worse if you did.
Dude, yeah, that's terrifying. And honestly, it reminded me of, like, going to stores as a kid because they used to have stuff like that, like, leading to the toy aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, like, giant footprints, and I would, like, walk in and try and follow it. But yeah, this is a little bit more creepy.
So the college kids are in the cotton candy cocoons, and then the clown is there using Mooney's body as like
a hand puppet.
Yeah, a hand puppet. And Dave shoots the clown, hits him in the nose, and discovers that's their weakness.
Yeah.
And I want to say I love this bit because when you hit the nose, the clown explodes, but there's always a little bit of confetti in the explosion, and it's great.
It is good.
So Mike and the Terenzi brothers,
they like find a parade almost.
Stumble
like
on a clown parade. That's what I wrote.
They're like marching down the street, and they have like this giant machine that is there for capturing the cotton candy people.
Yeah.
So it's like a Dr. Seuss-esque type thing.
It's honestly. Yeah, but it's like got clown music playing in their machine, but like slowed down and terrifying.
Yeah, it's scary.
There's mini clowns on sticks in Debbie's house now, and they're attacking her, and she manages to get out of her bathroom only to be accosted by several regular sized clowns inside and outside of her apartment. And they put her in a balloon.
Yeah, I wonder why they balloon her. Why are they not cotton candying her? Is there something special about her? Do they see clown potential for her?
I think, yeah, something like that.
Like, we can make you one of us.
Because we see later in the ship that they do have multiple balloon people. So
Yeah, I wonder what the deal is with that.
Mike and the Trenzy brothers and Dave all end up following the car that's got her in the balloon. Mike and the Trenzy brothers,
they like slam on the brakes.
Yeah, they all end up crashing into each other.
Yeah, it causes Dave to rear end them, which causes the cop car to be useless. So he takes over the ice cream truck and follows everybody.
Yeah, and they figured they're going to be hiding in the amusement park because that's going to feel most at home to them.
Yeah, they're like, what's one place they would go to?
And the honestly, carnival. Like, it blends in really well because when you first see the amusement park area, you don't really clock that the big top spaceship has settled down right there.
Yeah, it looks exactly like it belongs there.
Yeah. So at the amusement park, one of the clown is throwing pies at the security guard and it melts him.
I love that, man. Like, I didn't expect that, but yeah, he just starts to dissolve.
Dave, Mike, and the Terenzis enter the ship. The brothers immediately fall into the ball pit because, of course, that's what they're there for. They're not there to be taken seriously. They just add a little extra fun to this movie.
They join because Mike told them that
Debbie had big-breasted roommates.
Yeah, and they land in there, and then they see two big-breasted clowns, and they're like, oh, are you Debbie's roommates?
And the clowns are like, oh, okay, these guys are easy. So yeah. They just blow up balloon boobies for themselves.
Yeah, and we don't see what happens.
We see later they're covered in little smoochy marks.
Yeah, they definitely make out with them. But a clown enters a room. That's when Mike and Dave are hiding. They're hiding behind a row of cotton candy people.
And they watch this clown stick a silly straw in one of the cocoons and drink whoever is inside of it. And like, I love this because the clown comes in and he's like checking the cocoons for ripeness.
I know. Yeah.
I love it.
It's just like a nice detail. Like,
what vegetable do you think or fruit do you think the cotton candy cocoons are most like in terms of ripeness? Do you think it's like an avocado where there's maybe a 30-minute window where it's going to be the right ripeness? Or do you think it's like a banana where you buy it for the specific purpose of letting it go brown to make banana bread and it seems to last for a month?
I would say that. I'd say like it has to age for a certain extent and then okay. Like, okay, now it's right to eat. Yeah, that's how it seemed to me.
So they get Debbie out of the balloon by shooting it, which doesn't really do many favors for them hiding out. So they all have to go running. They're going through various rooms. And I wish we could have seen more of the spaceship, but I feel like this is probably a budgetary thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I love how they like find a doorway, but every time they open the door, it's just it's a tinier door.
It's another door. Yeah. It's another door. It's great.
It just keeps getting tinier and tinier. And then eventually there's a tiny door that does open and they crawl through.
It's like Alice in Wonderland meets Willy Wonka.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So the clowns surround them. And then Rich and Paul enter, and they are covered in smooches.
Yeah, smoochy woochy for sure. Yeah,
and they have their clown truck, so they're speaking through the PA, and the clowns listen because they think it's another mm-hmm. clown. And like, okay, I guess we listen to this clown.
Except then the boss clown emerges.
Clownzilla. Yes.
Clownzilla takes that ice cream truck and tosses it.
Yes, like fucking destroys it.
Yeah. Says, this is nothing to me. So Dave is like, Mike, Debbie, you've got to run. I know how to fight this. Which I feel like three versus a Clownzilla is a much better odds than one versus a Clownzilla, but whatever.
Yeah, like more people to hit the nose.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to do this yourself, dude. You just want to be a hero.
I really wanted this Clownzilla thing to be like Bowser at the end of a Mario game where he had to hit the clown nose three times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, Dave stays behind to distract it. The tent ship detaches and starts mm-hmm. flying off into the sky.
Yeah, and Debbie and Mike get outside and like the state cops are there and they're like, what is happening? And then they see the big top is spinning and everybody's like, oh no! And the ship explodes and they're like, oh man, Dave and the Terenzi brothers, they're all dead. Except, you know, we got some debris from the exploded spaceship. And including a clown car. You know who comes out of that clown car? Dave.
Yeah.
Dave. And you know who else comes out of this debris? The Terenzi brothers.
Of course.
They were hiding in the freezer, Indiana Jones style.
Yeah. Yep. They always survive this, mm-hmm. this tomb.
And you know what? I like it though, because it is very wacky
yeah.
in the way that this movie should be.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And she's like, Debbie's like, do you think it's over now? And Mike's like, yeah, sure, why not? And then they all get hit with pies.
Yeah, from the sky. They all just like, it's flying from the sky. And I guess that kills them, right? Because like,
yeah, well, they're acid pies. We know that. So yeah.
And that's how it ends.
And that's how it ends.
Like, I guess everybody dies, including the clowns.
oh, man.
All right.
You know what? I'm going to pop it up to an 8.5. This is a fun, dumb, silly little movie. It's, like I said, there's not a lot of, like, story going on there, but it doesn't need to. We just need enough of a set piece for the clowns to do silly clown killings, and that's what we got.
Exactly, yeah. It's just, like, it's just a premise and a setup to, like, have fun with these awesome costumes and designs that they came up with. Like, we know how to make these awesome clowns. Let's make a movie about them. Let's make them aliens. Let's make them do absurd shit. And that's just like an hour and a half of that. I'm keeping it at 9.
Okay. So our new average is 8.75. I think the thing I really would want to change is I would love to see a little bit more. So we had plenty of fun with the clown stuff.
Uh-huh.
I want to see it merge with the alien stuff just a little bit.
Okay. I don't really want any alien stuff myself. Like, that's what I was afraid of. Like, I didn't want alien stuff to be involved in this. But, I don't know, maybe. Like, I guess we could see, you know?
Like, I would like to see them doing, like, experiments on a human that they kidnap. You know, maybe that's what the balloon people are for. And then they're doing, like, silly clown shit while they're experimenting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. I could see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anything about them, though. Like, I like
no, the mystery. No, no origin story. I don't want to know the reason why they're clowns. I don't want to know if they put the idea of clowns into us or if they took it from us to blend in. I want them to be clowns always, no explanation.
Yeah, just like a mystery. Yeah. That's how it's best. All right. So what did Talia think of it?
Oh, boy. This is a big night for Talia. Mm-hmm. So she'd gotten a brand new toy that we got from the festival we went to yesterday. Mm-hmm. So she was very excited about that. She kept knocking it off the couch, which meant she kept barking at us to pick it up off the floor for her.
Yes.
So that was a whole big thing. She was watching very attentively when Pooh sadly got dog napped.
Oh, yeah.
She wanted to go outside right afterwards. And then when she came back in, she like was alternating between playing with her toys and like watching the movie. So she was really, really into it. I think she would give it a 9 like you, except she has to deduct a point for dog death.
We all do. Dog deaths, for sure, are deserved deductions.
Yeah, so she gives it an 8. And Zoe, oh yeah, Zoe was very into this. She was like, we get explosions and high-pitched noises. I'm all about it.
Yeah, there were multiple explosions. The truck exploded, the ship exploded.
Clowns exploded.
Clowns laughed in a high-pitched manner.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Okay. Who did you relate to?
I relate to the goths that just wanted to drink wine in the park.
Okay. I related to the farmers. Like, you're not going to take my dog, damn it. Because I would chase after my dog into a extraterrestrial clown tent.
Absolutely.
If I had to. Yeah. All right. So it is time for dream sequel time. Do we have a potential sequel that we would do? So you said you want more alien stuff.
Yes, I want to see them out in space. I want to see them flying around doing a little something.
I want that ship that they had to send a distress signal to, I guess, another crew and let them know to come out there and finish the job.
Oh, I thought you meant like send a distress signal to another spaceship a la Alien and lure astronauts onto their ship.
That would be fun too, actually.
That's what I thought you were going with.
That kind of gives it a little bit of what you're wanting there. It gets like a little bit more sci-fi. So like, yeah, there's like a, okay, they escaped in an escape pod in the last second of that explosion, and they're out there and they set the beacon and then they like go into hibernation.
I want to see like a full recreation of Alien, but the alien is one of the clown aliens and it's highly silly instead of highly scary.
I would love that, dude. Yeah, like they notice like there's like an escape pod, like somebody does like there's a beacon there, let's go check it out, and then they like bring it on and like holy shit, it's a bunch of clowns, and the clowns take over the ship and have fun inside and they make it their own. Okay. They turn it into another circus tent.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That would be awesome. I know that I was looking whenever I was doing my research that there were like planned attempts to do sequels. At one point, sci-fi was involved.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's I don't know if that's like an actual thing that is still in the making. But you know what? I got the Wikipedia page still pulled up here. Let me see.
Last week's episode of Pod Lead, JW pitched the Asylum version of Waterworld, and it's just called Wet World. Okay. So, yeah, I want Asylum to do a sequel to this movie.
Okay. October 22nd, 2018, it was announced that Sci-Fi was in talks to license the rights to make one or more sequels to Killer Clowns from Outer Space, as well as additional movies in the Critters franchise.
Sci-Fi also did a sequel to one of the Bring It On movies, and it's called Cheer or Die, and it is exactly what you're thinking it is. I love it.
Also Slumber Party Massacre.
Yeah. Slumber Party Massacre, which we covered that one. It's really good.
Yeah, that is a surprisingly good one. So yeah, I guess that there is like a chance that we can get something down the line. With this movie right here, like I think the popularity, like it's not dying off. It's just getting bigger. It's becoming more and more of a cult favorite. So there's definitely...
The one thing I don't want is I don't want like a grittier take on it. That's why, no. To be clear, we didn't really talk about why we didn't like the cover art on the Blu-ray we have for this. It's because it is like a grittier cover. I think it's very, it's much more akin to like the Stitches poster.
Yeah.
Which is a gritty killer clown movie.
If I saw that and I didn't know that there wasn't a remake, I would have thought that that was the remake of the movie.
You asked, like, did they do a remake? That was your response when you first saw the disc.
It's a terrible design.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It doesn't capture the spirit of the movie at all.
There's also, by the way, a video game being made. It's an asymmetrical multiplayer game. It's going to be kind of like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Friday the 13th type games. So that comes out next year.
That's fun because you can do like different things with that. I was thinking of Dead by Daylight. I was about to say you could have all kinds of different weapons.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. So one crew is the clowns, one crew is the people. I'm excited for that. Yeah, I think especially now that like I've seen the movie again, like I'm more on board for it. Okay, now new tagline. Let's see. What's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Is that the tagline? Yeah,
just put a QR code of the song.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, I would be so pissed off if I had to scan a QR code for my taglines. Like, I go to the movie theater and there's a QR code, like, okay.
But what if it was, like, just the theme for it?
Make the poster play the music.
Yeah.
Just do that, man. That would be awesome.
Like Scratch and Sniff, but with music instead of smells.
Okay.
If we want actual words, though, I mean, we could be one of those people that takes a line from the movie, because I always like where Mike is trying to explain to the Terenzi brothers what's going on. He's like, there's no time to explain. Clowns are killing people. That is the full explanation.
You know what? That's actually a great tagline. Killer Clowns from Outer Space, because people will have questions about that title tagline. There's no time to explain. Clowns are killing people. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that's actually really good. Okay. All right, cool. All right, so now it's time for reviews.
Okay.
So I did pull two reviews just in case you didn't like it.
Okay.
So I can only read one, or I can read both if you'd like.
No, read the less in favor.
Okay.
I think we've spent about an hour and a half talking about why we like this movie, so.
Fair enough.
We can listen to somebody from the other side why they didn't like it.
All right, well, this is a 1-star on IMDb, and it says, a putrid mess.
Okay.
Okay. This film is supposed to be one of those campy, over-the-top, funny horror films that is played tongue-in-cheek. Instead, it is just an embarrassingly bad movie that is a complete waste of time.
Aww.
Some kids up at the local makeout spot see a flash in the sky and someone lands nearby, or something lands nearby. After investigating the strange event, a couple of teens then discover that the flash was an alien ship in the shape of a big top, and it is full of killer clowns. The clowns are mean and nasty with big yellow teeth that spin the local folks into big cocoons of cotton candy for some reason. And on it goes. Every possible clown joke is used, including killing people by throwing pies at them and guns that shoot popcorn, balloon animals that chase people, and a bunch of clowns getting out of small cars. There is an endless array of clown-related gags, and each one is less funny than the last one. In fact, of the attempted humor, is the least bit funny. Clown-related or not, the writing is bad, and the acting is worse. The spaceship sets are common things like filled line pipes and air ducts all cobbled together and painted bright colors with lots of dry ice vapor everywhere. What few special effects there are poorly done and in most cases cartoonish-looking. This being a PG-13 movie, there is no skin and practically no gore. Actually, you can see somebody's nipples through her top whenever she answers the door to get pizza.
Yeah, she's wearing, like, just a lace negligee.
Yeah, like, you can see,
like,
nipples. And there's gore. The dude fucking, like, melts from pies being thrown upon him. And also people's faces get peeled off from cotton candy.
Yeah.
Sorry. This movie fails at all levels and has no good points at all. I only rented this thing because I had read some rave reviews about it at some of the horror movie websites. The makers of this bag of poop must have paid the websites to put up those rave reviews, or maybe you just have to be stoned to enjoy this movie. The people who made this stinking mess are the ones who should be stoned.
Okay. Like, look, I get that everybody doesn't like tongue-in-cheek, campy, on-the-nose type of stuff. I get that that's not everybody's dish. I think if you want something that utilizes the clown shtick, but it goes for a little bit of a darker tone and doesn't play it so light, like, this person might like something like Stitches a little bit more.
I think Stitches would be more in line. I think Stitches doesn't take itself too seriously, but it takes itself more seriously.
Yes.
This person, like, it's not like they went into this movie not knowing what they were getting into. Like, they said that they expected it to be tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I get it, I guess. Like, if that's not what you're wanting, but, like, honestly, with the premise and everything, like, I can't really understand exactly what you were thinking it was gonna be.
Well, and then I think sometimes when people think about movies like this, they're assuming it's gonna be like a so bad it's good kind of situation, which isn't really what this is necessarily either. It's just, it's silly.
Yeah.
It's silly. That's what it wants to be, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
Which not everybody wants in their horror, and that's fine. You're not wrong for it, but, you know, we are gonna, you know, probably not invite you to our parties because
yeah,
we like silly fun.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think it would be kind of cool to have an R-rated cut of this where they, like, do get a little bit more visceral with some of the stuff. Like, see somebody fully melt. And, yeah, I'm not going to say no to skin. Like, skin is nice, like, in all movies. But,
From what I've heard with skin, you'll win.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not going to make or break a movie for me. Like, if I don't see, like, boobies and, like, people's guts.
Yeah. You can go an hour 26 without boobies, y'all.
Yeah, for sure.
It won't kill you.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Okay. All right. Well, let's check out listener reviews.
All right.
Okay. So, got one here on Instagram, and it is from Cube Saves. He says, a movie that still haunts me. Is there a better design or more fun horror movie? Honestly, if you are terrified of clowns, this will be a very terrifying movie, because the clowns, even though this is a very silly movie, the clowns are very creepy looking.
Yeah, they don't do a lot to make the clown feature smooth. They look lumpy in a way that's disarming, and their proportions are all out of whack, the way a clown should be.
Everything being practical too gives it more of, like, like, it's more real.
And you know what, a good clown stuff like that should be practical.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? That's how clowns are supposed to be.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I agree. It's a really well-designed movie. And honestly, it does get really creepy at times. Like that scene of the clown luring the little girl out.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
That's upsetting.
That was like the creepiest part of the movie. And also the part where, like, he rises up from behind the puppet show.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome too. Over on Twitter, we have Zombaquile Boobs says, love it. One of the most iconic movies of the 80s, in my honest opinion. Terrified me as a kid and cracked me up as an adult. It's the perfect mix of creep and camp all blended together with wonderful, colorful effects. A modern day classic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, the effects are amazing. They held up really well. I don't understand why that original dude was saying whenever he said the effects look shitty.
That's honestly, and there are some people that love computer generated effects, which whatever, CGI can do a lot of good stuff.
No.
I don't hate on CGI. I just have a lot of love for what we can do with practical stuff, because a lot of that is just like understanding human nature too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you learn about tricks for when they photograph things like food, like, oh, you're not actually photographing the food. We're doing tricks of the eye. Or, you know, you and I both draw, and you know that sometimes even if you're doing like a realistic portrait of something, you still have to kind of cheat the proportions a little bit to make it look right on paper, because it's a two-dimensional surface versus a three-dimensional representation.
Yeah.
And I like the artistry that goes into that type of stuff. And I'm sure it goes into CGI too, but I don't know.
I like it too, because like, even if it doesn't look 100% accurate, I like seeing the effort and the, like, making something work from that, because like, you can tell that they worked hard for it. And like, CGI is tough too, but like, there's something different about like doing it like hands-on with real world materials.
Yeah, and you're just like, what can make this look similar to this?
Yeah, you have to be like really inventive.
In black and white days, they used to use chocolate syrup for fake blood because they knew it would be dark enough on film and it would get the right consistency.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that. Like, and that's why it makes sense that like there was such a transition when we were doing color film, and then like we get this bright red paint because they hadn't quite worked out the coloring of everything. Yeah, they're like, okay, audience are expecting bright red for blood, so we're just going to do bright red. And nowadays we're a little bit more you know, realistic with the color of the blood.
Yeah, make it a little bit dark and goopy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the final review is from Movies for Days, who says, it's excellent and silly and great. There's nothing out there quite like it. Every horror fan should check it out.
I agree. If you are like me and you hadn't seen this before, don't hesitate to change that, because this is a worthwhile watch. Even if you don't like it, it's an hour 26. You can at least say you've seen it, and then you can think about why you don't like it and have an honest discussion with people like us that won't judge you for not liking it, unless you're just saying it's a poop bag, and then we're like, well, we need you to explain what that means a little bit more. But if you're just like, I didn't like it for XYZ reasons, like, that's like your opinion, man.
Yeah, I mean, and like, you know what it is going into it at this point, so, you know, like, I don't know, I guess if it's not your thing, I don't know, try anything at least, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, give it a shot. Like, it gets, Jesse might not agree, but I thought it started super fast. Like, if it doesn't hook you within the first 10 or 15 minutes, then just bail out, I guess. Because, I mean, it's going to...
It gets better, I think, once the clowns really get going.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, once the like clowns get into town.
But it's not a huge time commitment to get to that point.
No, it's not at all. No, I don't think it'll be
And this is also a really easy like background movie, too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's like no plot. You don't have to follow anything. It's
You're not
like,
going to be like, wait, why are they doing this? It doesn't. Like,
oh, because clowns are terrorizing and they're trying to stop them.
Yeah, okay. That's it. That's the entire reason.
Yeah.
Like, there's no secret thing you're gonna miss.
And something. Why are the clowns doing this? We don't know, because they're clowns.
Because they're clowns and they're aliens.
Yeah, clowns do this shit, and aliens do too. That's just how it goes. All right, so that is it for this week's episode. Next week,
we're continuing our Saw coverage. Mm-hmm. We saw 3 2006. Horror thriller, according to how the internet categorizes it.
Okay.
You can currently stream it on Tubi, Hulu, Peacock, Fubo TV, Stars, Prime, YouTube Primetime, Sling TV, YouTube TV Premium, Philo Premium, or you can rent it from Google Play or Vudu. Or, once again, I'm letting you know that you can just go buy all of the Saw movies for like $10 at Walmart and you get cool seasonal art with it.
That's true, yeah.
I like, it doesn't hurt anybody to own all of the Saw movies. No. So.
But yeah, I'm excited to talk about this one. This is a fun one that we're coming up on. We're getting more and more into the ridiculous stuff, but this is like,
we're getting far more soap opera-esque, and I love it.
This is like the bridge right here. This is where it starts bridging over into the ridiculous shit. Like, it's still somewhat grounded, but like, they're like, okay, shit, we're killing them off.
And
the
for
sun.
A movie that's gonna be at, for like a franchise that's gonna be as wild as it is, it's going to maintain a crazy sense of continuity.
That's true.
In
a
way that most franchises wish.
Yeah, that's very true. It's a very ambitious series. So we'll be back on it next week.
Yep.
So watch it or just listen to us talk about it, whichever you prefer.
But do both.
Yeah, do both. I encourage that for sure. All right. So we, in the meantime, you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter with Twitter and Blueski.
Twitter and Blueski, yep.
Least Fave Pod is our handle there. On Instagram, it's Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast, and also Threads. We do have Facebook, What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie? And we have a website, whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com. And you can check out our Patreon if you want to be able to support us financially, which we have the following people as patrons there that we'd like to shout out, which are Eric and Vivi of Shaken Not Scared, Gio,
Frigatron,
as is his full name, Amber, and Michael.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate the support. It helps us buy new equipment and pay for our website. Mm-hmm. However, if you can't support us that way or choose not to, that's cool. You can show us support in free ways, which is by rating, reviewing, and subscribing on whatever platform you're listening on. It just lets the algorithm know that you like us, and listeners of the other shows you listen to might also like us. Mm-hmm. It just, like, you know, nudges people
it
our
helps.
Direction. Yeah.
It really does make a difference. We really do appreciate those of you that have done that. And also just, you know, tell people about us, let people know. If they, if you know somebody that loves Killer Clowns from Outer Space and you want to throw this episode their way, you know, please do. Or if you want to introduce somebody to Killer Clowns, you know, show them the movie and say, hey, and also listen to the show after that.
Yeah, we love hearing people talking about, like, watching a movie for the first time because of the show. And they're like, what? Yeah. Like, I forget which movie it was. It was sometime over the summer. And somebody was like, I can't believe that this is happening right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I wish I could remember what movie it was.
I don't know.
So I'm pretty sure it was Beatrix on Twitter was the one tweeting about it.
It was 47 Meters Down.
47 Meters Down. Yeah.
The sequel, Uncaged.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember that. That 48 was cool.
Meters Down.
48 Meters Down. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, man, I love that movie.
So, yeah, you know. This is the place we all like to talk about it. And, you know, you can always have your reviews on the show. Just go to the social media or send us an email or message or whatever for whatever upcoming episode we have. And we'll read it on here.
Yeah. I just the big thing we ask is that whether you love it or hate it, we just want to know why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole point is that we want everybody to feel comfortable giving their opinion. And we like to hear the reasons people have. People have different reasons that they love stuff and people have different reasons that they dislike stuff. And I think it's good for us to have that open discussion out there about, you know, why it goes one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah, I agree. It's nice to know. It's nice to have that discussion. So we can discuss this one now that we've got it published. So let's do that. And we will discuss Saw 3 next week, so be back for that. We are excited, and we will see you guys again next week.
All right. Bye. And she also said that I Still Believe was blowing up on the radio. She does not really remember the saxophone man. But the song, she definitely remembers.
She's like the only one that's like, oh yeah, there was a saxophone in that. Like everybody else is like, oh, the fucking saxophone movie?
Yeah, she's like, I had no clue that it was such a big deal.
Like, oh yeah.
She's like, the song itself, yeah, I knew that was a big deal.
Oh, but shit, there were vampires.
But she
in
was
that,
talking
huh?
about Cry Little Sister, not actually. Okay, hold on. You're gonna need to do some creative editing.
Fun.
It wasn't I Still Believe that was playing on the radio, it was Cry Little Sister was playing. Back up.